Now today, as you've noticed, we're doing things a little bit differently. We have a family-friendly service. And in the past, that was kind of family-friendly in name only, but not really too much. And what we did in the past is we made activity packets for the kids, but the sermon was pretty much the same, and all the other elements of the service were pretty much the same. But what we're doing today, and so you know ahead of time and you don't freak out, is I am preaching a normal sermon that I would do, but I'm doing it in three different segments. So point one will be one segment, point two will be another segment, point three will be the third segment, and there will be music in between. And so it'll just be a kind of a more engaging format, and just wanted to let you know about that. And kids, I'm going to involve you today, so you need to help me on a few things. As we get going, I got some pictures up here that I want to talk about. These kids are dressed for what? School, yeah. The school bus kind of gives it away, but they got backpacks on. They look like they're dressed for school. How about this next picture? This little guy is dressed for baseball practice. Mom's saying, hey, man, you're going to kill it. Have a good day, good practice, dressed for baseball practice. This little gal is dressed for ballet, dance practice. How about this next picture? These people look like they are dressed for a funeral. Yeah, it looks like somebody passed away. Funeral memorial service, they look very somber. How about this guy? He's a farmer. Yeah, he's got overalls on. Not a lot of farmers have bow ties, but, you know, he's a fancy farmer. How about this? These people are dressed for a fancy dinner party, right? Yeah, they've got nice clothes on. Looks like a fun occasion. How about this picture? The beach, yeah. You don't often see guys running around shirtless, but this is the beach. It's appropriate at the beach, and they're dressed for a fun day at the beach. How about this? A wedding. They're dressed for a wedding. Now, let me ask this before. Have you ever been to a wedding?
Yeah.
Would you wear overalls to a wedding?
No.
Would you go shirtless?
No.
That would be kind of inappropriate. You know, it's okay to be shirtless at the beach, but not at a wedding. And one of the principles that we understand is that different occasions call for different attire or different ways that we dress. And you want to dress appropriately for the occasion that you're going to. And today we're going to talk about a story in the Bible that are called parables that Jesus told about his kingdom and how we can be part of his kingdom, how we can be part of his family. It's found in Matthew 22. We'll get there in a little bit if you want to turn there in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under the seat in front of you, or you can see it on the screen. But we're actually also going to watch a video today. And what I want to, for those of you who didn't see the email that went out, we are learning today exactly what our kids would be learning if they were in Sunday school and not with us. So it's kind of fun to participate in that. And it's also fun to see the excellent curriculum that they're involved in. And we're doing family-friendly services on fifth Sundays of months because we are short in volunteers. And so one of the ways that we can make that work is to have kids involved in the service. Now, you're saying today isn't a fifth Sunday. Well, we have 35 women gone at Hume Lake, and so we're greatly lacking in people. But here's the other thing that you need to know. There's an intentionality about this. There are huge statistics that when kids graduate high school, many of them leave the church, and many of them do it for the rest of their life. And they do that because they have never been involved in the larger service. They've always been kind of segregated in their own little group. And kids, I want you to know this is your family, this is your church. And you guys are welcome here all the time. And we have you come in on Communion Sundays to participate with your families. But part of having a healthy church relationship is integrating with people and socializing with people of all ages and understanding that we're an interconnected family and how beautiful that is. So that's why we're doing what we're doing today, and we're getting to go over their curriculum. But the story today is literally the story that Jesus told about how we can be part of his kingdom. And the beauty of this is it doesn't matter what our past looks like. It doesn't matter what kind of life you have lived to this point, because God is not looking for the cream of the crop, the elite, the people that are perfect, that have never sinned, that have never blown it or made mistakes. God's kingdom is open and available to everybody. And that's the beauty of what we're going to learn today. And the story that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, we're going to look at verses 1 to 14 today. You need to remember before we read this that, guys, do you remember what Matthew did? Remember his profession? He was a tax collector. Did his friends like him?
No.
No. Why? Well, and tax collectors were always cheating people out of money. If the government said, okay, they owe $10 in taxes, he would collect 25. And when he collect 25, he would pay 10 to the government, and he got to pocket $15 for every person that he did that to. So he was ripping off his own people, and they didn't appreciate that. So tax collectors were hated. And one day, Jesus actually called Matthew to follow him and be one of his disciples. It's found in Matthew chapter 9. And Matthew responded. And even though he was looked down upon in his culture and his time and by his friends and his community, Jesus wanted him to be a disciple. And Jesus was saying, you're going to be significant in my kingdom. And Matthew responded. And so we're going to read that story, but we're going to watch this video first that tells us about that story.
Hi there, I'm Pastor Kevin. It's time for questions from kids. Anna from Omaha, Nebraska asks,
I want to invite my friend to church, but what if she doesn't want to come? What should I do?
Let's scrap the video. It's the one with a king on the front and a banquet table. It's 2 minutes and 38 seconds. And I'm going to read the passage first, and then if you find it, we'll play it. If not, we'll scrap it. So Matthew 22, I'm going to read for us. If you got the PowerPoint, let's go to the PowerPoint of what I'm reading. Matthew 22, 1 to 14. This is what Matthew writes. Jesus also told them other parables or other stories, and he said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and the fatted cattle have been killed and cooked. Everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests that he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn down their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests that I had invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corner and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Kind of a hard thing to understand. We're going to talk about that. But here's the number one point I want you guys to remember today about this story. The story of God's kingdom is that we are all invited. Every single one of us is invited to become part of God's kingdom and God's family. It's not based about how good we are. It's not based about whether we've ever made mistakes or lived a perfect life. It's not based upon our position, our title, our authority, anything like that, our accomplishments. It's based upon the fact that God wants us and has invited us to be part of his family. And the question is, are we going to respond appropriately? There's another story that is called a parallel story to this, because Luke tells the same story that we just read in Matthew, but he tells it from his perspective. And in Luke's story, listen to the difference here in verses 16 to 18. It says, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready," but they all began to make excuses. So the difference between how Luke tells it and Matthew tells it is that everybody was invited and started making excuses. You know, I got to go to school, I got ballet practice, I got a wedding to go to, I got a funeral to go to. They all made excuses for why they couldn't come. But I want you to notice this. Notice that every single person who was invited ahead of time. It wasn't like the king at the last minute decided, hey, I'm going to have this big banquet party and invite whoever wants to come. No, he had invited people ahead of time. So they had time to put it on their calendar. They had time to clear their schedule. They had time to make it a priority. And when the servants went out, they were going out to just say, hey, the time is now. It's come. This is the day that you've been anticipating. This is the time for the party. So let's go. And even now, they're making excuses and they're saying why they can't come. They should have been ready. The Bible teaches us that every person is invited to follow Jesus and be part of his kingdom. But the sad reality is not everybody chooses to do that. Not everybody accepts that invitation. Not everybody sees that as something that they want to respond to. And only those who accept his invitation and believe in Jesus as God's truth are able to become part of his kingdom and his family. I meet every Friday morning in the back room beyond the sanctuary wall there with our men, and we do a men's Bible study. And Joe, as many of you know, was telling a story about one point in his life when he had tried this business venture and it had failed. And he was really just longing for a job with a nice desk that had his name on it. And not too long after that, he got that kind of a job. And Nancy, his wife, got him this really cool nameplate that had his name. And he just felt like, this is it. This is what I envision. I have a desk with my name on it. And then he went on to say this because we were talking about the same story. He said, you know, how mind-blowing it is that one day we will attend that heavenly banquet, that heavenly feast. And every single one of us will have our name in front of where we sit at that table. Because we are anticipated. God is looking for, he's prepared everything for us. He's invited us. He's expecting us to come. And so our name will be at that amazing table. And that's a beautiful picture, excuse me, of what it means to be invited. I'm going to have Jim come up now and play a few more songs for us before we go into our second point. But how powerful it is that the God of the universe has invited us to not only be part of his family, but be part of his kingdom. And to dine with him one day at that heavenly banquet table, not based upon how good we are or what we've done, but based upon his grace. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes.
Every prayer we prayed in death. faith, we sing through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven with angels in the saints. We raise a mighty roar, glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Say it again. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven with angels in the saints. We raise a mighty roar, glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
So not only have we all been invited, but the second thing we're learning from this story is that everything is ready. Have you ever gone to somebody's house to eat dinner? And like, I remember going to people's house like for dinner at 8 o'clock, and they're going to barbecue. And you get there and like, okay, I'm going to start the fire. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? It's 8 o'clock, I'm starved, I haven't eaten all day, and you're just going to start the fire right now? And they're cooking tri-tip or something, and you know it's going to take at least like a half an hour to get the charcoal ready and all that. But the beauty of this is that you're invited to this wedding banquet, this feast, and everything is already ready. In verse 4 of our passage, it says, the feast has been prepared, the meat has already been killed and cooked, everything is ready. But if you notice in verse 8, the king... when the people don't respond, he says, the guests that I invited aren't worthy. And you think, how can he say that they're not worthy? Why did he invite them in the first place? And not only that, but if you look at verse 10, when he invites future guests, it says that he invites both evil and good people. So it's not a matter of whether they're good people or bad people. He invites everybody. Why would he say that these guests weren't worthy? And the question is, what makes us worthy? What makes somebody worthy of being part of God's kingdom, being part of his family? What makes somebody worthy of high degrees of responsibility or leadership? what makes somebody worthy of special recognition or honor, worthy of God's blessings. The world teaches us that we're worthy because of our education and our accomplishments and our achievements and our status and whether we have authority and we have people working under us and doing what we say. But Jesus teaches something completely different in Scripture. And he teaches a very simple truth in this passage. Did you kids pick it up? What do you guys think makes somebody worthy? Any ideas? Tell the truth, yeah. How about if they just respond to the invitation? That simple. If someone invites you to a party and you don't even respond, kind of rude, huh? Jesus is teaching that to be worthy of his kingdom just requires a simple response. A response of, yeah, I'll be there. Thanks. But to completely ignore it or to make excuses is not a worthy response. If a king invites you to his son's wedding, you don't shine him. You don't blow him off. You don't make excuses of all the other things you have to do. You respond in a favorable way and say, yeah, I'd like to be part of that. And that's what Jesus teaches us here. In the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, a lot of you kids know this. It says that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a free gift by his grace. So that none of us can brag about it. None of us can boast. It's something that we did or deserved. It's something that God does for us. But there's another essential part that I want you guys to recognize in our story. Were you guys bothered by the guy who wasn't dressed right? And the king said, how did you get in here? What, you're not wearing wedding clothes. And it seemed pretty harsh what the king did by saying, hey, bind him up and send him to a place of utter darkness for not being dressed right. You're like, seriously? If I wore overalls to a wedding or I went without a shirt, that would be inappropriate, but really? And here's the thing that you need to know. When you went to a special wedding like this, the clothes were provided. The clothes were provided. And so this guy is coming to the wedding and refusing to wear the clothes that were provided. Makes a whole different ring to it. And back in this day, in the Middle East, weddings were like for a whole week. They weren't just a few hours, but they celebrated for like a week. So you had to clear your schedule, and you had to dress appropriately, but the clothes were provided. So it's not like this guy was a poor guy who couldn't afford the right clothes. He came probably in his work clothes, but he could shower and change into wedding clothes. And the connection here is that Jesus has provided the clothes of his righteousness for us to wear. We don't go to heaven dressed in our own clothes. We don't say, I'm here, I'm ready. God says, no, I'm going to clothe you, I'm going to dress you, and I'm going to dress you in the righteousness of Jesus that he achieved by dying for your sins on the cross. And to refuse to wear the clothes that are provided makes us unworthy. To accept the invitation and to accept the clothes that God provides is what makes us worthy. And that's what it means to be dressed properly as well, to wear the clothes that are provided. And that's a huge point that we can often miss. I'm going to have Jim come up and play another song, and then we're going to wrap this up. But we are invited to this heavenly feast, and a response is really required of us and expected of us, and how important it is to realize that everything is all ready. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is show up and enjoy what God has already provided for us. He's going to give us the proper attire to make an eternity of blessing with him, and all we have to do is respond. So we'll wrap it up in just a few minutes, but one more song.
And fall, there is still one.
Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Though the dread of night overwhelms my soul, is here with me. I am not alone. Oh, his love is sure, and he knows my name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all the time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Though I may not see what the future brings, I will watch and wait for my Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. My God is the Ancient of Days.
Thank you, guys. Well, as we wrap up this morning, I almost forgot. I have something here, and I wanted to invite Ellie up, Ellie Dilbuck. Something here that I thought of you. Hello. I sacrificed to get this for you. And wait, hold on. Everything that you want is in this bag. Hey, everything that you ever wanted or dreamed of is in this bag. I made sacrifices to give it for you, and. Don't you want this?
Anyways.
All right. Thanks. Woo! We can make a very simple point that Salvation is a gift that God extends to us. And it's so easy to know that intellectually, but when you see it kind of acted out, you realize how incredibly rude and horrible it is to reject a gift that God is giving to us. I mean, it's one thing to make excuses for why we don't want God's gift, but to completely ignore and to shine the God of the universe. Friends, kids and adults alike, if you don't respond to God's free gift of salvation, if you don't make any response, that's worse almost than just saying no. No, thank you, I don't want it. I don't see any relevance in that. That's good for other people, not for me. But to completely ignore it is almost even worse. And what we've learned today is that the way you become part of God's kingdom is if Elliot said, thanks, Pastor Bob, that's so thoughtful that you were thinking of me. Wow, everything that I always wanted, ever needed, ever dreamed of is in this bag. And you picked this out especially for me. You made sacrifices just for me. Friends, God the Father has sacrificed His Son. We always say that for the people that say, you know, all roads lead to God. If that's true, then how foolish of Jesus to give His life on a cross. If there was any other way to God, but Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one goes to God except through me. And then He paid for my sins and your sins by dying on the cross as the perfect Lamb of God. And we can either accept that or we can reject that. But that's the way we become part of God's kingdom and part of His family. That last verse in our passage, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. What that verse really means and how I would love for you guys to read that verse from now on, many are called, but few respond. It's not that God picks some people and rejects other people. The Bible says God's not willing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him might have eternal life. For God did not send His Son in the world to judge the world, but that the world might live through Him. And remember in our story today, who did the king invite to the wedding? Only good people? No, it said evil and good people. And the only way we are made worthy is by responding and wearing the clothes that are provided. That's how we make it all happen. I'm going to invite Jim back up right now, and the kids are going to join him because our kids in a few moments are going to close us with the doxology. But I'm going to say a prayer for us before we do this, and we'll wrap up today. And actually, the prayer that I have is found in the theme verse that the kids have been learning throughout their study. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is Yours. O Lord, this is Your kingdom. So what's our response? We adore You as the One who is over all things. Lord God, that's our prayer. May it be true. We give ourselves to You. We thank You for Your free gift of Your Son, for the invitation to that heavenly wedding feast that we will one day attend if we respond by saying yes, if we agree to wear the clothes that Jesus provides rather than trying to dress ourselves in our own good works. God, that's the only way we become part of Your family. You said in John's Gospel, as many as received Jesus, to those You gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Lord God, may we all respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we close today, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. And I'm going to invite everyone to raise their hands to the sky, including the kiddos. Everyone, raise your hands to the sky. And let's sing this together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you all. Have an incredible week.